Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to episode 5 of season 2 of Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes, part of the National Podcast Post-Month Challenge. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And for this episode, since it is part 2 of a longer story, I'm going to go ahead and just do a quick recap of what I talked about in the previous episode. Basically, one of my classmates, one of my friends, Brandy, had read some of the Steno notebooks that I had filled with different stories based on characters I created back in grade school. She was not only interested in them, she got a real kick out of them, but she also just happened to be part of the group responsible for putting on the junior class variety show. And the junior class variety show was definitely under the gun to deliver the best possible show because the money that was raised would go toward paying for the senior prom. So we had to make sure that we were giving the seniors the best send-off possible. And so what she wound up doing was she reached out to a writer and asked that writer, myself, to sit in on a meeting with the staff, share ideas and see what can be done, what can be improved upon. And they not only ran with my ideas for the concept of the show, but they were also coming up with ideas on their own. And it was great to see. I was very proud to say that I was credited as the creator of that show in the junior class newsletter. Things seemed to be off and running, even though I put together some ideas for different commercials with my friend Adam Short, and those commercials unfortunately didn't go anywhere. But I still wanted to contribute. I was part of the judging staff. I was part of the creative staff that was going to be putting on this show in the first place. And I was very happy about that. I was able to contribute my thoughts for all of the different auditions that came in and was very taken with the whole process. But I still wanted to contribute. I still wanted to get something of my own writing in there. I wound up putting together two quick things. I put together my own take on a Mentos commercial, and that was a very fun one. It gave a little bit of the Monty Python-esque type of black humor that I was really into at that time and still am to this day. It starts off at a lab with one guy spilling toxic chemicals on his jacket, and everyone is backing away. This is when the Mentos music kicks in. And then he stops for a second, pops a Mentos, slowly takes the jacket off, hangs it up, grabs a different one, and puts it back on and goes back to work. And then another doctor comes in, grabs the chemicals that are on the other jacket. The chemicals gets on his hand, and he like looks at his hands and drops dead. Everyone looks down and then back at the guy who took his jacket off. The guy without the jacket holds up the Mentos, and that's the end of the commercial. Mentos, the fresh maker. Everyone smiles. That was a funny one. They wanted to tone it down a little. So it wound up getting some laughs, the final version of it. A lot of it was also kind of like I had just stepped away from that one because I was really focused on a different commercial that I started working on. And this was one that I just whipped out in about 10 minutes or so. It was my take on a Hair Club for Men style commercial. And what mine was, it was really simple. It was the model showing off this special kind of hair that I called the Bald Be Gone Do-It-Yourself Kit. It wound up being one of my friends wearing a swimmer's cap. He basically had a carpet sample slapped on his head and a staple gun being used to fasten it on there. And he wound up just obviously playing up the fact that he was getting hit with a staple gun. So we would just set up tape and everything on the other side. Then it would go into saying that if you act now, you get this and this and this, and just really play it up like a full-on infomercial. And that wound up making it into the show. I brought in one of my friends to play the role of the salesman. when he read it, it didn't work. It was flat. He was just reading it off of the page, but there was no fire to it. There wasn't really, you know, this, he didn't give the full impression of a, you know, you must act now kind of salesman that I really wanted. And it just wasn't there. I think part of it was I had brought the same guy in to contribute to another clip we were doing, which was our send up of the SNL sketch Sprockets, because our friend Dyron Hamlin, who was also on the staff, did a damn good Dieter from SNL as the character that Mike Myers played. And so we knew that he was going to do that. He was well known for doing that impression. So we were definitely going to have him be Dieter for this SNL send up. And we had brought in my friend to contribute on that sketch. He was really pumped up to do that. And when he did the reading for The Bald Begone, it just wasn't quite there. After the show, I sat down with the staff and I laid out exactly what I meant to do with that sketch, and I performed it for them. And that's where the energy was. That's where they got what it was that I was trying to do. Finally, they just said, okay, you do it. The problem is, at that point, I was taking drama 2. I had started taking drama 1 the year before, but that was the first time I had even thought of getting back on stage in several years. I had gone through 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, and now into 11th grade, just this period of stage fright. I didn't feel comfortable getting up on the stage, which was weird because I was in drama club when I grew up in Poughkeepsie, New York. There was that passion for theater and drama and wanting to perform and get up there. But here in Virginia, I wasn't feeling it. And I felt like I was missing something. And I felt like I would just get on that stage and embarrass myself. But all the rest of the staff kept on telling me, you got to do this. You got to do this. So I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And the very next day was the final dress rehearsal before opening night. And I went ahead and did it. And I remember stepping on that stage, pacing backstage. And finally, it was just like, I was not only going to get on stage for the first time in several years, but I was going to get back on stage with a piece of material that I had written. There's no one to blame if this goes wrong but me. So I just went for it. As soon as I stepped on that stage, all that fear, all that buildup in my head, it all went away. And all of a sudden, I'm on that stage and I feel like I'm home again. And I went through that sketch so quickly. I guess everyone understood everything I was saying. There was no stumbling. It was all just like, bam, 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 just hitting every single moment. And I got a really good laugh when I pulled out the staple gun. That got a nice laugh. And that really gave me that charge. And I was able to power through the rest of the sketch. And then finally, like I finished it off. I went backstage and I see my friend Chuck Wilson. And he just shakes his head and goes, stage fright, my ass. And that was it. That was the validation that I needed. And I felt like, holy crap, I'm back. And the really fun part is what happened the next night. Because next night was opening night. And originally this was going to be just a two-parter. But I think you're going to really enjoy hearing how this saga really played out at the end of, and what it would lead to. So again, huge thanks to Brandy Hurt for giving me this invitation in the first place. I honestly don't know where I would be in this world if she didn't do that. And I'll tell you more about that in the next episode. So until then, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to he'sgotit.com/podcasts.
While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@hesgotit.com.